Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I want to start by thank you both for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're the two most important people in the world to me. I've never said that before, but it's true. And I want you both to know it.
Now, that was a clip from the new Wes Anderson feature, Darjeeling Limited, that just opened the New York Film Festival. It's the first Thursday of the month right here, so that means a new weekly guest for this month. You may remember we did publisher of the real estate blog, Curbed, last month. We talked to New York Times sports columnist William Roden in August. We had the publisher of the blog Gothamist, Jen Chung, in June, and started it in July, and started it in June with Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief. And for October, it's two guests with the film festival going on and the fall film season getting underway. So we thought we would talk about movies this month with two critics, Slate's Dana Stevens and Entertainment Weekly's Owen Gleiberman, who are probably relieved that we're heading into the time of year that serious films are coming out, but maybe not. Dana, Owen, welcome back to the show. And I do want to start by thanking you both for being here, even if, to quote that clip from the movie, you aren't the two most important people in the world. Are you in blockbuster withdrawal, Owen, or is this a good time of year for film critics?
Oh, it's a very good time of year for film critics, and I am grateful to be in this period. I mean, in a larger sense, I'm sort of sorry that the serious, adult, interesting films of the year all have to be shoehorned into the last few months. That's the way it is now. But it means that these few months are very exciting, and I've already seen a number of really terrific films. There's some terrific films at the New York Film Festival.
Is the film festival keeping you busy, Dana?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, as Owen and I were saying, I mean, as film critics, unfortunately, we're often too busy to see screenings at the film festival. And the film festival is so full of little treasures that there's no way you can keep up with it all.
Did you both see Darjeeling Limited? This is the movie that's getting most of the buzz so far.
Yeah, I saw it on opening night. And I tried to go in with an open mind. I've always been pretty down on Wes Anderson as a filmmaker. But now I've come to the acceptance that there are Wes Anderson people and there are people who are not Wes Anderson people. I'm the latter. I went in, I tried to enjoy it. He's a very talented person. It had the same qualities that so many of his films did, all these words like quirky, whimsical, precious, very visually orchestrated, almost too much so.
So you didn't like Rushmore?
I'm not a fan of Rushmore. Actually, the one film of his that I really did respond to, I've seen it twice, is The Royal Tenenbaums, because I feel that Gene Hackman is such a marvelous actor that what he does there just kind of breaks through that Wes Anderson surface that's just like something created. But it struck me watching this movie that what really bugs me about his films is not even that they're so whimsical and precious, it's what's not there. They're so airless. I think that he gives his actors so little room to be spontaneous that even the performances come across as very stylized, and it takes a lot of skill to make a movie like that. At the same time, I feel that after a while it becomes monotonous. Like Owen Wilson is an actor I really like sometimes, but I felt that in The Darjeeling Limited, he just did the same thing over and over and over again. And so in the end, there was very little surprise in the movie, and I wasn't really moved by it. And I think this film about three brothers trying to get over their alienation and become closer as they travel through India. I think it wants to be a moving film. I think Wes Anderson wants to be a moving filmmaker, but he never touches me.
Dana, are you on one side or the other of the Wes Anderson divide?
Well, I completely agree with Owen that he's an either-or filmmaker, sort of like a licorice filmmaker. You hate him or you love him. I'm on the fence, but I'm somebody who always tries to love Wes Anderson. I agree he's an immensely talented filmmaker who has a real voice and a real look. You can tell instantly that you're in a Wes Anderson film, but that very style is starting to smother his films.
Anderson, by the way, evidently denies that he's quirky. In an interview with David Edelstein in New York Magazine, he said, "We're trying our hardest to entertain people, to make something people will like, something people will connect with. I don't think there's a great effort to try to make some statement about ourselves, you know?"
Well, I don't know
who wants to say they're quirky. It's quirky is not an in thing to be right now.
Yeah, and quirky now has become maybe with that piece.
There's
of
a quirky
Michael,
backlash going.
There
on.
Is a quirky backlash, and with that piece that Michael Hirshhorn wrote in the Atlantic,
in the
monthly,
Atlantic,
sort of
against,
bashing
against quirk,
and I agreed with that piece. But you know, quirky was used actually as a term of praise when it started to come up in the indie world. I thought the one thing that Hirshhorn missed in that absolutely terrific piece was the birth of quirk, which is I think the movie that started it all was the Coen Brothers' Raising Arizona. There it was, all of it, the preciousness, the stylized characters, and that mixture of kind of condescension and inviting the audience to feel at the same time that they're hipper than people.
Here is another clip from Darjeeling Limited about three brothers on a trip across northern India.
How did it get to this? Why haven't we spoken in a year?
Let's make an agreement.
Okay. What? A, I want us to become brothers again like we used to be, and for us to find ourselves and bond with each other. Can we agree to that?
Okay. Yeah.
B, I want us to make this trip a spiritual journey where each of us seek the unknown and we learn about it. Can we agree to that?
Sure. I guess so.
C, I want us to be completely open and say yes to everything, even if it's shocking and painful. Can we agree to that?
Dana, I want to ask you about the short that's actually been getting better, or at least more consistent reviews than Darjeeling Limited, that was released with it by Wes Anderson, called Hotel Chevalier. It's kind of a prequel, and it was shown at the festival, and I understand that it's free online, but won't be during the commercial run of the movie, so maybe it's down already, and people will actually have to wait for the DVD release in order to see that in mass numbers. So did you see it, and what do you think of that kind of distribution?
I did see it. I thought I liked it better than the Darjeeling Limited, as I think a lot of critics have. It's sort of, maybe just because it's so small, it's such a perfect little, tiny little piece of Wes Anderson aesthetic that, you know, maybe it doesn't get quite as airless as the longer film. But as for the distribution, I found it really irritating. I mean, as a critic, I was trying to see a Hotel Chevalier, this short, so that I could write on it along with the movie. And there were just rumors flying around online about how you could see the thing and whether it would be released. And
actually, I'm still confused about it and think that I may have misspoken a moment ago, and that maybe it is available on iTunes even
but
as the movie
free.
Hits the theaters. But it's not free?
I thought it was something that you could purchase on iTunes.
Okay, I could be wrong, and obviously we're all confused about this, unless Owen, you can clear it up.
I'm not sure about the iTunes thing, but I did see the short. I think it's very surprising and a wrong decision to not put it out with the movie, because the movie proper is only 90 minutes long. I did feel the short had a quality that I find so missing from Wes Anderson's films, which was a certain sadness. And I thought it had more soul, and it was also just a little more relaxed. He wasn't hitting you with this visual stuff, and he certainly wasn't hitting you with his quirk all the time. I thought the short really revealed what Wes Anderson, what a good filmmaker he could be if he ever decided to stop being Wes Anderson.
Yeah, the short sort of functioned like a very minimalist short story, you know, where everything must be inferred from a very few lines of dialogue between, you know, between Jason Schwartzman and Natalie Portman, who are these ex-lovers, and it was quite lovely.
It also makes fantastic use of music, which is something he's always been great at. I mean, even in the Darjeeling Limited proper, I mean, he's just a wizard at those sequences, although in some ways they're not that different from Nike commercials.
Well, you walk out thinking, I really want that song. I want to listen to it tonight. That's different from walking out thinking, I'm really moved by these characters and I care what happens.
And people, if you're enjoying this conversation and just joining us, Owen Gleiberman, film critic from Entertainment Weekly, and Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate.com, and they're going to be with us every Thursday this month, with so many movies and film festivals taking place in October. So this is going to be really fun. And I want to go on to another film that Owen, you had mentioned to us, also about brothers. This one from Sidney Lumet, or do you say Lumet?
It's Lumet.
Who made Dog Day Afternoon and Network and many movies. I think he's in his 80s now, isn't he?
He's 83.
And he's in the festival with Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ethan Hawke as brothers who decide to solve their financial troubles with robbery. Here's a clip.
Now listen, we don't want Tiffany's. We want a mom-and-pop operation in a busy place on a Saturday with a week's take still in the safe. We both work there. We know the safe combinations. We know the burglar alarm signals. We know where everything is. I figure between the week's take, the jewelry and the cases, the vault, there's a $500,000 haul. I figure probably six. That old dumb old lady that works there, she's alone till noon. She's not going to be a problem.
Andy.
Yeah.
That's Mom and Dad's story.
That's what I said. The mom and pop operation.
Sidney Lumet, still at it.
Absolutely. I hope it doesn't sound like faint praise if I say that this is the most vigorous and electrifying film I've ever seen made by an 83-year-old man. Seriously, some filmmakers have worked very nicely into their older years, notably someone like Robert Altman. But this is Lumet working in the style that really defined his great work in the 70s, where it was just about crime and it had a certain realistic quality and yet such a dynamic staging. This is a story of two brothers who get together to execute a crime that is so badly planned that I would say it's lower on the totem pole of inept criminality than the Dog Day Afternoon bank heist. And it's just mesmerizing to watch this fall apart. And then it's structured sort of the way a Tarantino film is, jumping around in time. But then just as you're getting caught up in this crime falling apart, it sort of morphs into this very emotional family drama. Fantastic performances by Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ethan Hawke, and Albert Finney as their father. I just found it an extraordinary film, and I think the fact that Lumet brought this off at his age, I don't mean to be patronizing when I said that, but it's just made like somebody working at the top of his game, and I think it's a thrill to see. It's coming out late in October, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Dana, you see this yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm very eager to see it, especially after that description.
What about patterns of directors as they age? Owen is surprised to see a certain vigorousness of it, and I understand you're trying not to be, you know, condescending and ageist about this. But great directors, as they get older, do they tend to age creatively in certain ways? Is there any pattern that you're aware of?
It's an interesting question to think of. I mean, it seems like artists in general do one of two things. Either they keep exploring their whole lives or they shut down, as we were just saying about Wes Anderson earlier, and seem to find a style that they get stuck in.
Over and over again.
I mean, I think Altman is someone who continued to make interesting things and also some really terrible things, but to keep trying something new with every movie his whole life, and I really admired that.
I think that in general they tend to maybe get a little more meditative as they get older and also slow down. I mean, Quentin Tarantino had a fascinating thing he said in a New Yorker profile a few years ago where he said he wanted to get out of directing by the time he was, I don't know, in his late 40s, because he said it's a young man's game. It's so physically demanding to direct a movie that he just feels like it's very hard to do once you get into your 50s and 60s. And yet there are some people who've done it marvelously, Kurosawa and Altman, and now Sidney Lumet has to join their ranks.
I'm thinking of the great Portuguese director Manuel de Oliveira, who I believe is around 90 now, unbelievably prolific, makes a movie a year, basically, and just keeps getting more reflective and better and better.
Although he made movies like a 90-year-old when he was 40, it should be noted.
But he's had a career that literally has lasted from the beginning of sound, the sound era, until now.
Absolutely.
By the way, during this segment, our producers have been hard at work downloading free movies on the internet, and they seem to have determined the answer to the question about the Wes Anderson short, and apparently it is on iTunes, and it is free, at least as of this moment.
That's good to hear, because the last thing I wanted to say about that is that I found that whole attempt to create a viral marketing scheme around the short a really bad ploy on Fox Searchlight's part. So I'm glad they're making the movie free now, even if they're not going to show it in theaters.
Now, would there be a marketing scheme? I guess the marketing scheme is if the short goes viral, then people will want to go to the theater and see Darjeeling Limited, since the short is a prequel. Is that it?
I guess that was supposed to be the idea. It just seemed like maybe it wasn't deliberate, but there was a lot of murkiness about how exactly it was going to go viral or how we were going to be able to see it.
You know what? Ed in Soho is calling in, and Ed usually calls in on political matters, but Ed, you're a moviegoer too.
Yes, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, last night I was at the film festival for two films, and the reason I called in is, Brian, I think the discussion is a little misleading, because all this emphasis on what I regard as, you know, good perhaps, but commercial films is very misleading. I've gone to the film festival since the beginning, and to me the key is to try and see films which actually may never get distributed here, and through a system where you have these critics on the committee that referee the selection. For example, last night I saw a 2-hour and 20-minute film by a Hungarian director, Belatar, called The Man from London. And it's based on a short story, a very simple story, a rail switchman who retrieves a suitcase filled with stolen money. And the opening shot, which is of a harbor and a ship, that opening shot took about 20 minutes.
We're going to run out of time, but your point is that's not going to be distributed for public?
Well, my point is that it's very unlikely, I think.
Right. Ed, I'm sorry to have to leave it there, but I do because I want to have time for a response. Dana, my sources tell me you may have been in the room with Ed last night.
I was in that same screening, and I'm glad someone called in about that because I wanted to bring the conversation over there, too. I mean, we did start with the big movies because they're sort of, you know, the marquee of the festival, and they're movies that have distribution that people will be able to see even if they don't live in New York. But the New York Film Festival is such a treasure because it's a cinephiles festival, and so it does have things like The Man from London, which from the great Hungarian director Bélatar, which is one of the more audience-averse movies you can imagine. As the caller mentioned, you know, there are shots that last, 20 minutes maybe pushing it, but, you know, a good 5 minutes of staring at something.
And that's a reason that people go to festivals, right? To see, you know, these small movies that don't get distribution deals.
Oh, yeah, there's avant-garde shorts you can see. There's 50s and 60s Chinese movies at the festival. Just, I mean, if somebody's listening to this and is interested in the festival, get online and investigate.
How long does it keep going?
I haven't seen the film, so I think it's telling.
The festival.
The festival
the 13th,
goes on.
I believe.
That's right. I think it's telling that he brought up this film that you described as audience averse, because I think what happens now is that yes, there should be and are films that aren't so commercial and films from all over the world, but there seems to be a kind of dichotomy in the film world now between commercial, accessible films that might even include really good indie films, and then these films that are so austere that they only play at festivals and that you might want to see them at a festival because they're never going to get distribution. There's almost a cult of, I've seen the film that hasn't been distributed. And I think it's funny. It's like we're losing the middle ground, which is that in the 60s and 70s, the kind of foreign films that played at the New York Film Festival, no one talked about them in terms of not having distribution. They were simply really good art films that people wanted to see.
And that is the last word, but only for today, because Owen Gleiberman, Entertainment Weekly film critic, and Dana Stevens, Slate.com film critic, will be joining us every Thursday this month to keep talking about movies coming out this fall. Thanks a lot. This was really fun.
Thanks, Brian. You. Loved it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.